Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Hey, it's my mom.
Hey, mommy.
And Glenn Leverins.
This is Morning Air.
That's how I know. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Yes, indeed. Wake up, America. It's Monday, April 24th. Good morning and welcome back to the final hour of Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins and producer Gabby Burke in for Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us across America and beyond on this Monday in the third week of Easter here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I just want to take a moment to say thank you if you're just joining us for all the kind words, the phone calls, the emails that we received last Friday for our special 20th anniversary edition of Morning Air. It was such a blast. The highlight of the day was having our founding host of Morning Air, Jeff Cavins, was on the show, and he was very moved. It was great to have him on, and I got a chance to say thank you to Jeff, because Jeff Cavins is the guy who brought me to Relevant Radio in the very beginning. So without him, I wouldn't be here with you. In case you missed our 20th anniversary show, you can check it out on our Morning Air podcast at relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app. It was also a big day for this reporter, because I got to fill in for Father Rocky on the Family Rosary Across America last Friday. So it was a long day, but it was quite a blessing. Big shout out to Dan Axe, co-host Maggie Groeschel, the entire team. They were absolutely fantastic, so helpful. It was a great way for us to say thank you to Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and to our listeners for so much encouragement and for all the blessings, and also to be able to pray with all of you, our Relevant Radio family. I want to bring in my partner, Glenn Leverins. Glenn, what is the latest on the big story from last Friday that broke right before the Family Rosary Across America, the Supreme Court allowing the continued sales of that dangerous abortion pill? What do we know this morning?
Yeah, John, Friday, the Supreme Court ruled late without comment. They'd allow the continued distribution of mifepristone, the abortion pill that's been used in over 5 million abortions across the U.S. Chemical abortions now account for more than half of all abortions, and this is the most popular of those pills. The FDA ruling that approved that in 2000 has been challenged in court. A Texas judge ruled that distribution should stop. That's been overruled for now, as that ruling is on appeal, and while that appeal still rolls, the drug will still be available. FDA hearing on that again in court on May 17th. So things continue as they are for now, John.
You could say that the Supreme Court, for the time being, punted until May 17th, Glenn.
Yeah, or kick the can down the road, as some say. And so that's the latest, as the battle really intensifies in every corner now after Roe v. Wade is overturned, but that state-by-state battle. But this is one of those cases that affects multiple states, actually the whole country all at once.
Were you surprised by the reported vote 7-2 with Justices Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito dissenting?
Well, you know, many times through the years, having simply a conservative majority doesn't always add up to votes the way conservatives would like, even on the life issue sometimes. And here we go again.
Yeah, and this is not the final say. So they're going to let it work its way through the courts, and it may very well go back to the Supreme Court for a much in-depth analysis.
Yeah, not over yet, so please do keep things in prayer.
And again, just to keep it in perspective, Kristen Hawkins, who is a regular here on Morning Air, she's the president of the Students for Life of America. She reminded us that this is not safe, this abortion pill. It can have some very dangerous side effects for women.
The FDA for 16 years has chosen to ignore the concerns about the dangers to mothers from chemical abortion pills. We know these pills are 4 times higher complication rate than a traditional surgical abortion, 10 times higher death rate than a traditional surgical abortion. In the name of choice, they're willing to allow some women to die in order for more babies to die, and it's completely outrageous.
Well, there you have it, Glenn. We'll be keeping an eye on this story, and I'm sure there'll be developments between now and May 17th when the Supreme Court will take it up again, or actually when it goes to that appeal process, I should say. Glenn, I'm still kind of on a little bit of a high over the weekend after what an exciting show we had on Friday with the 20th anniversary of Morning Air. It was so much fun.
Oh, I'm so glad that you hung on to and saved so much of that audio from the early days there. It was fun to hear that again, and then, you know, to hear Jeff Cavins on tape from 20 years ago and then hear him live as well as he continues to be very active in the Catholic world with plenty of speaking and teaching out there and getting Relevant Radio underway with Morning Air so many years ago. It's a blast. We just thank our listeners for the past 20 years, and, you know, as Ernie Banks would say, hey, it's a great day for baseball. Let's play two. Let's do another 20, John.
Absolutely. Let's do another 20. And speaking of memory lane, would you believe that on this day, April 24th, when I was a little boy, 8 years old, I made my first Holy Communion at St. Gregory the Great Catholic Church on the north side of Chicago. It was the first time I ever received a Jesus. And I still even have the Holy Card. I have this beautiful remembrance of my first Holy Communion here with me in studio, and it's a never-ending reminder that we should have that same disposition, every time we receive our Lord in Mass in the Holy Eucharist as we did when we were little kids.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, and would that everyone have that same enthusiasm that you do to note that anniversary and then carry that forward each and every single time we're at Mass.
I'm a crazy guy. I have the card, and on the back, I also have the dates of my baptism, my first confession, and my confirmation. So, you know, these are special moments, and I think it's important, for parents to let their children be able to share it in those moments. And so these holy cards, these remembrance cards are a beautiful way to do it. And just FYI, I was able to give an additional card to my mom yesterday. I visited her at the nursing home, and I gave her one of these holy cards, and she absolutely loved it. She just lit up, and she was so happy that I had not forgotten my first Holy Communion.
Well, and such, hats off to her for such good work. I mean, that's the basic work of parents, to pass that faith along and to know that it matters.
Well, thanks, Glenn. Really appreciate it, as always.
Sure thing, John.
We begin every hour, as we always do, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. Traditionally, on Mondays, we pray for the souls in purgatory of all of our relatives and loved ones who really do need our prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio and my hero, pray for us. We always invoke the Holy Spirit, the executive producer of this show, when we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You can always find us on Twitter and Facebook at Morning Air Show. And if you want to send us an email with any of your thoughts or story ideas, it's morningair@relevantradio.com. And our number, if you want to be part of our conversation here this morning, 888-914-9149. Now, this morning, we're going to continue our series on morality, virtue, and freedom with our spiritual director, Father Burke Masters. In today's episode, we're going to talk about the theological virtue of hope from Sacred Scripture, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and some of the examples of the saints. Joining us live is our spiritual director, Father Burke Masters, the pastor of St. Isaac Jogues Parish in Hinsdale, Illinois, suburban Chicago. He's the Chicago Cubs Catholic chaplain, known as the baseball priest, and a longtime Morning Air contributor. Good morning, Father Burke. I can continue to say Happy Easter. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you on another Monday.
Happy Easter, John. Yeah, great to be with you. And these 50 days where we celebrate the resurrection. Well, we celebrate it year-round, but in a special way during this time. And, of course, you and I are big baseball fans. And the Cubs are surprising some people early on in the season. They're a fun team to watch.
They really are surprising some people. I'm keeping an eye on them, although they did take it on a chin with the Dodgers at home this past series. But overall, they're doing much better than expected.
That's for sure. Yeah, it's been fun to watch, and I'm excited to get to know the players better and hopefully have an impact on their spiritual lives as well.
Well, I think it takes the virtue of hope to be a long-suffering Cub fan, although they did finally win the World Series in 2016, so you could say a former long-suffering Cub fan. But hope, it's part of being a baseball fan, but it's also a theological virtue. Can you explain to us what the church teaches on this theological virtue of hope?
Yeah, so just to review briefly, you know, we have the cardinal virtues and the theological virtues. So we've gone through the cardinal virtues of prudence, justice, fortitude, temperance. These are virtues that we can increase in through developing good habits, cooperating with the Holy Spirit and God's grace. The difference between the cardinal virtues and the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity are that the theological virtues are a gift from God. They are infused into us by God, and we should be asking for these virtues, the grace to increase in faith, to increase in hope, and to increase in charity. So the Catechism says about hope, that hope is the theological virtue, that gift from God, by which we desire the kingdom of heaven and eternal life as our happiness. I think we can pause there, because to ask ourselves, do we desire the kingdom of heaven as our ultimate goal and ultimate goal of happiness? If we go back to the beginning of this part of the Catechism, it says that every human being has a vocation to beatitude, meaning we have a call. Vocation means a call from God. The beatitude is happiness, not the happiness that is fleeting, that comes and goes in this life, but true happiness that comes from being in union with God. And so our ultimate union with God will be in heaven. And so this theological virtue of hope is, you know, always keeping our eyes on heaven, that my goal is to be eternally happy with God in heaven. And then it goes on to say, placing our trust in Christ's promises and relying not on our own strength. So trusting that Christ said, I will be with you until the end of the age, and I've prepared a place for you, that we trust that promise that we can be with God forever in heaven, eternally happy with him.
Father Burke, that teaching from the Catechism reminds me of Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and rely not on your own understanding. It's so important, I think, that the message of trusting in Jesus' promises.
It is, and, you know, why do we trust in Jesus' promises? Because he always fulfills his promises. You know, I often go back to the beginning. If we look at Genesis, and we know that God spoke and everything was created. So by God speaking, everything was created, the heavens, the earth, the animals, the fish, and Adam and Eve. Jesus Christ is the Word of God made flesh. So that same word that spoke and created the world now takes on flesh in Jesus. And if we look, everything Jesus says happens. You know, when he tells the blind man, you can see, he can see. When he tells Lazarus, rise from the dead, he rises from the dead. When he tells us, this is my body and this is my blood, it's his body and blood. And when he tells us that if we believe in him, we have a place reserved for with him in heaven. So we can put our hope in that in Jesus's promises, and the enemy, the devil, he wants to sow lies in our lives. He wants to sow discouragement and despair. To think, well, we look around, you know, everything seems to be going in the wrong direction. I lose all hope and I fall into despair and discouragement. And Jesus wants to tell us that no matter how difficult things are going in this life, that he is with us. That's the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And what he promises us always happens, even when it feels like he's distant or that he's abandoned us.
And Father Burke, hope is a theological virtue, but it's also a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's much more than just having a positive mental attitude and, you know, hoping upon hope that something good's going to happen.
Right. Yeah, it's not just optimism. Like, you know, as we were joking about with the Cubs, you know, hope, they say hope springs eternal, and we hope that the Cubs win the World Series. Or we're just trying to be, we try to will ourselves to be optimistic, to have a good day. That's relying on our own strength, where the theological virtue of hope is trusting in the Holy Spirit, trusting in God's promises, and to say, you know, and I think you just know when you have that gift of hope, where, or you see it in other people, when you say, wow, where does their hope lie? And Scripture says, always have a reason for your hope. And if our hope is in Jesus Christ, you know, that's that theological virtue of hope, to say, no matter how bad things are, you know, I can trust in God. So I think looking at some of the saints, you know, gives us an idea of what this looks like. For example, St. Thomas More, you know, who was the Chancellor of England under King Henry VIII. King Henry wanted to divorce his wife and marry another, you know, against church teaching, and he wanted St. Thomas More to approve of it, because St. Thomas was such a faithful Catholic and influential person in England, and St. Thomas More said no. And even, you know, if you watch A Man for All Seasons, which is a great movie, you know, even his wife and daughter come to plead with him when he's held in jail, saying, just tell the king, do whatever he wants so you can save your life. And he said this line, he said, I die the king's good servant, but God's first. And so he had that theological hope that even if they take this life, my earthly life, that I trust that I will be with God forever in heaven. And what a powerful example that is of the theological virtue of hope.
And Father Burke, there's a few other, there's many, many saints, but there's a few others that really come to mind that are also great examples for us about this virtue of hope, like St. Gianamola, for example, here in recent times.
Yeah, St. Gianamola was a medical doctor. She died in 1955, so fairly recently. She had three children and was pregnant with her fourth. She was diagnosed with cancer, had a tumor. And she allowed them to take the tumor because I think it was right next to the baby, but to save the baby, and the cancer continued to grow. She had the baby. The baby was born healthy. And not too long after that, the cancer spread and St. Gianamola died. And many people would say, why would she make that decision to not take the baby to save her own life and to sacrifice the life of her child? And you know, she was obviously very pro-life, but she had that hope, that theological hope, that she would be with God forever. And to the world, this may seem like a crazy decision, but to someone of faith, to someone who believes in Christ's promises and has that hope, it makes perfect sense. Another that many people are familiar with is St. Maximilian Kolbe, who was a Polish Franciscan priest, very faith, he had a great faith in the Blessed Mother, great love for the Blessed Mother. And he was arrested, taken to Auschwitz, and one of the prisoners in his camp escaped. And so to make an example of that, the guards came and they chose 10 people and said, we're going to kill you because of that person who escaped. And one of the men who was called, he started crying out about his wife and young children. And Maximilian Kolbe, this priest, heard the cry of this man. He said, I'll take his place. And he volunteered to be killed in place of this man. And he survived for a while without any food or drink. St. Maximilian Kolbe, he was encouraging those that were dying with him. And eventually they gave him a lethal injection with acid to kill him. And people, again, would say, why would he sacrifice his life for this man? But again, you know, he had that hope in eternal life. And in a beautiful twist of the story, this man lived a long life, and the man whose life he saved was actually at the canonization mass in Rome when St. Maximin Kolbe was canonized a saint of the church. So a powerful story.
Very powerful story. Great example of divine providence. And obviously no greater love than to give up your life for a friend, as our Lord taught. So, yeah, St. Maximilian is one of my all-time favorites. Another one is St. Paul. He obviously knew quite a bit about suffering. He went through a lot. And in Romans 5:3, he writes some very encouraging words. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Father Burke, can you explain how hope does not disappoint us?
Yeah, again, Christ always fulfills his promises. And when we place our hope in him, you know, it made me think of this this talk I heard once. It was a Protestant preacher, but the image was powerful. He had this long white rope across the stage, and just about 2 inches of the rope were painted red. Everything else was painted white, as long as you could see. And he said, this red part of the rope represents our life here on earth. The white part represents eternity. And he says, why do we focus all of our attention just on the red, just on this life, when eternity lasts forever? And I think it's a great reminder for us to say that, you know, if we place our hope in Jesus, if we believe in him and he promises us eternal life with him, that's where this hope doesn't disappoint. Even as St. Paul says, in his sufferings, in his trials, you know, he was shipwrecked. He was beaten and left for dead. You know, he was imprisoned a few times, and he kept singing God's praises because his hope was firmly placed in Christ. And so, and we believe that St. Paul is experiencing the joys of his hope with Christ now forever, so that hope never disappoints.
The great theologian George Weigel wrote Witness of Hope on the life of St. John Paul II. How can we, too, be witnesses of hope?
Yeah, I think a couple things. Asking for the gift of these theological virtues. Pray every day for an increase in faith, an increase in hope, and an increase in charity. And that's why when we pray the rosary, you know, we begin praying for those theological virtues, for an increase in faith, hope, and charity. So ask for those gifts, and then continue to abide in God's grace. So frequenting the sacraments of reconciliation and the Eucharist, spending time in daily prayer, diving into the scriptures. I think those things allow us to be firmly rooted in these gifts that God gives us, these theological virtues. I want to give one last example, if I have a minute.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, this one I was just reading about, Blessed Chiara Corbella Petrilla. She died in 2012, so 11 years ago. Young lady. She met her future husband on a trip to Medjugorje, and they got married, and they lost 2 children right after birth. You know, their babies died within 30 minutes of their birth. In their third pregnancy, she was diagnosed with she had cancer of the tongue, and she rejected treatment for the cancer to save this child in her womb, and she had the baby. And then the cancer progressed, and she died at the age of 28. Her process of beatification has been opened already in 2017. So this is somebody, this very, very recently, who people would say, she's a beautiful young woman. She's going to have, you know, she has this great husband. She had all this life to live. Why would she reject cancer treatment? And she and her husband are just great examples of faith and hope. And, you know, hope does not disappoint. We believe that she is with the Lord in heaven. And eventually, you know, God willing, her husband and this child that she had will be with them forever as well. So I think these aren't just examples of, you know, 1,000 years ago, but they're in our time where people are living out this theological virtue of hope.
Well, Father Burke, I really appreciate your teachings on hope and your encouragement here this morning. We all need to be not afraid and to put our hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks again. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. God bless you, John, and all the listeners.
Go Cubbies. Father Burkmasters,
go Cubs.
The baseball priest and longtime Morning Air contributor. We need to take a short time out when we come back. Pro-life activist Hope Miller, the granddaughter of Joe Shidler, will join us to talk about kicking off the Summer of Life with a big rally on June 24th, the anniversary of the Dobbs decision. So stay with us as this Monday edition of Morning Air rolls on here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is Morning Air, your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning.
Jump into the conversation. Call 888-914-9149.
888-914-9149.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and producer Gabby in for Sarah. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday in the third week of Easter here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. The question of the day for us during this Easter season: do you believe that Jesus Christ is God and that he rose from the dead? Yes, we can still continue to say Happy Easter during these 50 days of the Easter season because as Catholics, we are an Easter people. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Acts 5:42. And every day in the temple and at home, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. In the Acts of the Apostles, when Saints Peter and John proclaim Jesus' resurrection after healing the man born lame, the Sadducees reacted with great anger and they were persecuted. During this Easter season, we must be excited about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest miracle in the history of the church. If we are to be true disciples of Jesus, then we need to have the proper perspective, and we will have rejoicing in our hearts when we go through difficult times, when we are rejected, when we are suffering hostility for the love of our Lord. Never, ever be ashamed to proclaim the risen Christ and the gospel. We always pray with great confidence, that prayer that Drew Mariani prays every afternoon during the Hour of Power, the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program this morning, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, can you believe that today, in exactly 2 months, on June 24th, we're going to celebrate the first year of the Dobbs decision when Roe v. Wade was overturned by the Supreme Court. Our next guest, Hope Miller, has been following in the footsteps of her legendary grandfather, the great Joe Shidler, the founder of the Pro-Life Action League, and at her young age, she is already doing some amazing work in the pro-life movement. She is part of promoting a big celebration called the Summer of Life that'll start on June 24th and kick off with a big rally. Joining us live from suburban Chicago is Hope Miller, a young pro-life activist. She is the present and the future leader of the pro-life movement. Hope has hosted a podcast called The Hope Miller Show on Spotify. She's a public speaker. She's worked for national pro-life leader Abby Johnson, the founder of Then There Were None. Good morning, Hope. Welcome back to Morning Air. Thanks so much for being with us here this morning. It's great to be with you again.
Good morning. I'm glad to be back again.
Well, Hope, can you believe that we're coming up on the one-year anniversary of the biggest news in the pro-life movement in the last 50 years? First of all, how significant, from your perspective as a young pro-life activist, was this overturning of Roe?
I think that the overturning of Roe was huge. I mean, it was so, so significant. But I think that we need to understand that the fight is so far from over. And so, you know, I took the overturning of Roe as just more encouragement to finish what my grandfather started, which was eradicating abortion in the United States.
Well, your grandfather was
was really the inspiration for me to get involved in the pro-life movement. He was a great, great man, and I am so eternally thankful to him. He inspired me to produce the 40 film, way back in 2013, and we hopefully touched a lot of hearts with it. But I wanted to ask you, what does it mean for you to be following in your grandfather Joe Shidler's footsteps? He used to say, do something pro-life every day.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it means a ton. It's definitely, I've got pretty big shoes to fill, and who knows if I ever will, but it definitely makes me feel a lot closer to him now that he's passed and everything, and it feels, really neat to be able to kind of, not experience everything that he experienced, but kind of live a very similar life, and fight in the battle that he fought in, and I'm very honored to be part of something like this, and I only hope to continue to grow and, save more lives and help more people. I took my grandpa's inspiration of doing something close every day and basically starting a nonprofit around it. It's called Simply Pro-Life, and it's to help people do the simple things for the pro-life movement by giving them the means and resources. So I feel like he's definitely played a huge role in, where I am now.
Well, there's no doubt, Hope, that you've already been doing some great work. And, for our listeners that might not be familiar with your story, can you share with us why you are so passionately pro-life and how you really got involved in the pro-life movement to begin with?
Well, I've kind of been involved in the pro-life movement, for my whole life, as long as I can remember. And that was because of my grandfather. He's the godfather of the pro-life movement, and, my mom being a good daughter would go to all of his events, and then, me being a good daughter would go with my mom to all of his events, and so I went to a lot of rallies and picketing and Face the Truth tour, where we show the reality of abortion on the streets of Chicago, and so I grew up kind of doing that thing, but I did it just out of, my mom told me to, and I wasn't old enough to stay home kind of thing. But then as I got older, I kind of realized what exactly we were fighting against. People were literally killing babies in the womb. And so I started, kind of looking into it more, looking into what pro-choicers said about it and what pro-life has said about it and people who were advised to get abortion and chose life, those kinds of things. I would be up until the wee hours of the morning, way past my bedtime, just digging into this, and then it kind of hit me one day, with all this information that I have to share it with the world. I can't let it go unsaid. I have to share it with as many people as I can. And so I kind of started my own personal, passion for the pro-life movement and started doing things on my own. I became president of the Crusaders for Life at 14 and was president for about 3 years, and I continue to just have, an independent voice in the movement, and now at 18, I'm starting a nonprofit to continue to help with it.
Well, there's no doubt that you're off to a great, great start at such a young age. In fact, it's got to be really humbling and special to be a speaker this week at the upcoming Midwest March for Life, which I believe is happening on Wednesday, April 26th. You're going to be there sharing the stage with some of the biggest national names like Sean Carney of 40 Days for Life and many other national leaders. How special is that?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, first of all, I just love the Midwest March for Life. I've spoken there the last 2 years, and it is one of my favorite places to be. Kathy, who helps run it, is just a wonderful woman. So I'm thrilled just to be going back to the Midwest March for Life because it is an amazing event. But I'm also thrilled to be speaking alongside one of my favorite people, Lauren Muzica, and also those other amazing pro-life leaders and people who I don't know yet, but who I will know. The really unique thing about the pro-life movement is that, as soon as you sit down at the speaker table, you all have one thing in common you can talk about. And it's a really neat community to be a part of. And that's why I'm so thrilled to be, part of hosting, a rally in Chicago as well. It's so unique, and I'm so thrilled to be part of something like this.
Well, Hope, I know that you're plugged into pro-life news, and on Friday, late in the day, the Supreme Court ruled that it was temporarily allowing full access to the abortion pill, allowing it to work its way through the court system. What was your reaction? Are you still hopeful that this dangerous pill is going to be ultimately stopped?
Yeah, I think that it has to. I think that, you know, sooner or later, our country is going to come to a realization how terrible it is. And I think that we're already doing that. The overturning of Roe was good. It was good, but it made the decision of whether or not abortion should be legal back to the states. That's all that it did. Well, it was a really great step in moving forward. There's still a ton of abortions happening daily in America. But, you know, as my grandpa says, any news is good news. And obviously, Roe being overturned is good enough news in and of itself. But one thing I really noticed with the overturning of Roe was that people are talking now. People used to didn't want to talk about abortion, and then they would get angry at us for saying something about it. But now people are talking about it. And I think that that's huge. I think it's going to change hearts and minds just because the conversation is happening. So I think sooner or later, you know, this is a very temporary setback. Sooner or later, we're going to start realizing how terrible abortion is. And it's just one, you know, one bit at a time. And so it's a temporary setback. I'm not happy about it. I wish that they, you know, didn't allow it. But I think that over time, and I think it'll be sooner than later, we'll really start to see a huge difference with the numbers in abortion in the U.S.
Okay, with the one-year anniversary of the overturning of Roe v. Wade coming up, can you tell us about the Summer of Life?
Yeah, so I'm actually really thrilled because I just realized it's exactly 2 months from today. But we are, through Simply Pro-Life and Pro-Life Action League, hosting an Illinois pro-life rally, and that is going to be on June 24th in Federal Plaza in Chicago at 11 in the morning. And it's going to be a kickoff to the Summer of Life. The rally will include several amazing speakers like Eric Scheiser, Mary Kate Zander from Illinois to Life, formerly known as Mary Kate Knorr, as well as a client from Age for Women. And we're looking for our final speaker right now, so we'll keep you in the loop. And then also Tom Olsey from Students for Life. We're going to have some amazing speakers, and then we're going to march as we've been doing for so many years. And that'll conclude in Federal Plaza. And we're hoping to have a band there because it is a celebration. So praying for all that to work out. And then following that, we're aiming to have a pro-life event every Saturday following that June 24th rally. And it's going to be our pro-life summer, our summer of life, where we are consistent in our activism. We're consistent in numbers. We're consistent in showing up to really prove to Illinois that we Illinois pro-lifers are not okay with the state of Illinois and that we want to see abortion eradicated in Illinois. If anyone listening is interested in hosting a pro-life event throughout the summer, please let me know. You can get as much information as you need at simplyprolife.org or prolifeaction.org. And if you're interested in coming, please, I encourage you. We need to show Illinois that we are not okay with the state that it's in and that we want abortion eradicated in the state of Illinois.
Well, I hope we want to talk a little bit more about these plans for this Summer of Life event and this rally coming up 2 months from today on June 24th. I want to invite our listeners, if you are passionate about defending life, if you have any thoughts on this upcoming Summer for Life, we're taking your calls for a pro-life youth activist, a speaker and podcaster, Hope Miller, at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short break as we continue our conversation with Hope. Stay with us. There's much more to come on the other side.
This is Morning Air,
your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning.
Jump into the conversation. Call 888-914-9149.
888-914-9149.
And welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for tuning in. as we continue our conversation with pro-life youth activist Hope Miller, the granddaughter of the great pro-life champion Joe Shiler. And we're talking about kicking off the Summer of Life with a big rally 2 months from today on June 24th in downtown Chicago. Hope, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. It's nice to be back.
Hope, obviously, the March for Life has been marching for a long, long time on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade in January. Why do you think it's important to make a statement on the anniversary of the Dobbs decision and the overturning of Roe v. Wade coming up here this June 24th?
Well, let's be honest. The nice weather will be a nice change. But mostly, I think there's two major reasons I think that we should be marching on that day. I think first we need to celebrate. Life is a celebration, you know. It's exciting when new life comes in, and when somebody passes away, it's so important to celebrate their life. So I think life in general is a celebration full of many celebrations within it. And we need to be celebrating the fact that, you know, despite the fact that we still have a lot of work ahead of us, many lives have been saved because of the overturning of Roe. So commemorating that day by celebrating is hugely important. But secondly, it's a call to action because we are not done. And it's so important to remember that, yes, on this day a year ago, we saw a great change in this nation, but that great change is not enough, and we are not done, and we are not content with that. We need to continue it by eradicating abortion in all of America. And so, you know, I think it's those two things. I think it's a celebration, but a call to action to finish the fight.
There is no doubt that there's a lot of work still to be done. If this issue of defending life and promoting the culture of life is important to you, you want to be part of this conversation. If you have any thoughts for pro-life youth activist, speaker, and podcaster Hope Miller, we can take your calls at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Again, Hope, can you give the address for more information on this event?
Yes. So it's in Federal Plaza in Chicago on June 24th at 11 a.m. We encourage you to get there a little bit before just so we could start and you know, have this wonderful rally. But, yep, June 24th, 11 a.m., Federal Plaza, Chicago.
And they can go to the simply prolife.org website or the Pro-Life Action League's website for more info.
Yep.
Now, I know that you are really passionate about sharing the culture of life, especially with young people. You've done events, and this is part of what you do. What are some ways that young Americans can become truly pro-life?
Well, first and foremost, it starts with understanding, you know, abortion, the pro-life movement, and the pro-choice movement. I think you need to do as much research as you possibly can. Some really great resources are Pro-Life Action League under Learn the Facts on their website. Live Action has tons of resources. My grandfather's book, Racketeer for Life, has you know, amazing resources again. But, you know, that's the most important thing, is educate yourself first. And I believe once you educate yourself, then you will start to get a passion for it. And from that passion will come confidence, and confidence to take action. But start small, do a little research and find out, you know, a little bit at a time. And then once you feel like you know enough, do just small things for the movement. And I think that will truly help to make a difference.
What about kids who, you know, in their daily lives, you know, in high school or college, you know, are afraid to speak out? They might feel intimidated. Any words of encouragement for young high school, college students who, you know, feel like, you know, we're in this pro-choice world, and it's hard to go against the grain?
Understand that it will be hard. Like, there is nothing I can say or do that will make it easy, especially if you're, you know, in like a public school or something, or surrounded by people who don't agree with you. But you have to understand that you have truth on your side. You know, we are not against the murdering of an unborn child. And so that should give you some sort of encouragement. You're on the side of truth on this matter. And so while it's going to be difficult and they may ridicule you and everything, remember that they hated Jesus first, and then following that, you have truth on your side.
Now, Hope, I know that you recently had the opportunity to learn. You talk about getting educated. You had a chance to learn from former Planned Parenthood Clinic Director Abby Johnson, the founder of And Then There Were None. I mean, she is a true pro-life champion today. How special has it been to be able to get to know her and to work with her?
Oh, yeah. She's just been wonderful, super encouraging, and a ton to learn from her. And, you know, obviously, I miss, you know, being able to talk to my grandpa and learn so much from him, you know, face to face. And so it is truly a blessing to be able to talk to other great activists and learn from them and everything. And, you know, I continue to have a close relationship with Abby, and I really admire her for what she does and everything, you know, and her story is just so, so inspiring and encouraging to, you know, me to continue on and protect life.
Well, there's something that anybody can do. Everybody can do a little something, and I know that this is a part, basically, of what your grandfather tried to instill on so many people.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Hope, right now, as we stand here, a couple months away from the anniversary of the overturning of Roe v. Wade, what do you think the biggest challenge right now is for the pro-life movement?
Well, I hate to admit it, but I'm worried that people think that just because Roe has been overturned, that our fight is done. And I just want to emphasize it so strongly that it is not. And you still need to show up to abortion clinics in Illinois, because abortions are still happening. You still need to show up and pray. You still need to show up at rallies. You still need to show up to fundraisers. You still need to show up to, you know, counseling and then things along those lines, because I cannot emphasize enough how far we are from the finish line. And I don't mean time-wise. I mean, you know, step-wise. It's going to take a few more steps until we get abortion completely eradicated in America. And we will not rest, and we should not rest until it is done. So I'm nervous that, you know, we think that we're done when we're not. And so I just want to encourage you to please continue to show up for these unborn babies and their mothers.
And the issue has become even more complicated now that over 50% of all the abortions are done through the abortion pill, which obviously continues to be in the news with the latest Supreme Court ruling.
Yeah, it's terrifying. And we need to pray that, you know, the Supreme Court changes their mind, I guess, and that we no longer have the abortion pill in the United States.
Well, Hope, I really appreciate the passion that you have for sharing the message of the culture of life. And real quickly, where can our listeners go once again to find out more about the Summer of Life?
So the best place to go is simplyprolife.org. That will have the most updated information. But I know Pro-Life Action League will be sending out some information soon, so be sure to sign up for their emails, as well as on Instagram. It's @_HopeMiller. And then if you need to just directly ask me for anything, the best way to get a hold of me is email, and that's hope@simplyprolife.org.
Hope, you are a young pro-life champion. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Hope Miller, pro-life youth activist and the granddaughter of the late legendary Joe Shiler, the founder of the Pro-Life Action League. And now it's time for yet another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called It Goes Fast by Whitney Fleming. You can feel like you're losing them during the teenage years, even though they're right there in front of you. One day you're laughing and getting along, the next you feel like you're sitting with a stranger you don't know in the least. They might be unrecognizable, growing 6 inches in a span of 6 months. They might have changed personalities from sweet and loving to salty and stoic. They might have changed their interests, their focus, their dreams. You lose them to their phones, you lose them to their rooms, you lose them to their friends, their activities, their jobs. You may feel desperate to cling to the child you once knew, the one who adored you, the one who got along with you, the one whose hand you thought you'd hold forever. You may feel like crying from their constant rejection. You may feel lost when you can't get them back on track. You may feel insignificant when they ignore you or lash out. You'll grow impatient with the status of your relationship. You'll feel frustrated with the push and pull. You'll grieve what's no longer there. You'll pull back. You'll say yes. You'll watch from afar. You'll take whatever interaction you can get, even if it's always on their terms. You'll pick and choose your battles because you're tired of so many battles. You'll try and stay available, even though they're mostly unavailable. And then one day, when you least expect it, you'll feel something shift. You'll see glimpses of the person they're becoming, and you'll begin to look forward to seeing what they'll do with their life. You'll start to learn about new interests, new passions, new sense of self. You'll begin building a new relationship, one where you're no longer their sun, your job is to be their moon. Connected by a force so strong it will never break. You'll follow them along, providing light in their darkest moments, direction when needed. Sometimes your presence, large and looming, sometimes small, barely seen by the naked eye. But you'll always be there. It won't be perfect, it won't be what it was. But if you can survive losing your teen for a little bit, what happens when they come back to you can be even more beautiful. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. During this 50-day Easter season, pray and watch the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky tonight with special guest host Father Richard Simon, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. That'll do it for this Monday edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverance, our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God bless America. We'll see you Tuesday on the next show. The Patrick Madrid Show is next.